This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cub Cooker Supernatural Podcast. My name is Jacob Cooker, but my friends call me Cub, and you should too. Every day on the Cub Cooker Supernatural Podcast, we are unlocking secrets of the ancient mythos, and today is no different. We're going to get into it deep today, talk about several different things. Today is going to be a bit of a different pace than normal, but it's something I'm trying out. One thing I've discovered is doing a podcast every single day and having a fresh, new, ancient scripture to read is not only time-consuming, but it is literally impossible, even doing this full-time, to just continue to bring brand-new scriptures and understand them and have something relevant to say. So today I want to kind of recap and talk about a lot of what we've been talking about for a while, and getting kind of a fresh channeled message for 2024. What does it look like to have ET contact in 2024? And this is going to be my practical guide to multidimensional living in 2024. So this will be a great episode for you, especially if you're into the woo-woo. If you like the woo-woo, that's what we do. What is up? We got Honeybee in the house. We got Allie. We got Rick. Thanks for being here, my friend. Diamond Days, how are you doing? Alisa, welcome. Allie K, thanks for being here. Ewok, Honeybee says, hi, Cub. Hey, friends. Milton, thank you for being here. Kay, thank you for being here. The Big Shug, thanks for being here. Benny Riviera, what is going on? Honeybee, thanks for liking the live and sharing. I appreciate you, my friend. There's a truth train for confirmation today. So I'm going to go through some of the weird experiences I've had recently. This is episode 417, by the way. Kenny says multidimensional blast. Absolutely. So if you have had a multidimensional or a transcendental experience or anything out of the ordinary you would like to publicly share today, love to hear it. You can drop it in the comments. Just know that if you do drop it, I might read it and it'll be public. 333 on the clock for confirmation there. So a few of the things that I've been learning and really understanding, because a lot of what I'm going to talk about today cannot be learned. It can be understood, it can be experienced, but you can't prove it to anyone. You can't even learn it as in intellectual knowledge. You just have to like know it in your soul. What is up, Elisa? Thank you for being here, my friend. And that's where today is going to get weird. This is where it goes off the rails today. Normally, I like to have sacred scripture to back up what I'm talking about, and I do have about five different verses today to share, but this isn't coming from any, you know, canon of scripture or any ancient particular singular mythos today. This is my understanding, my experience of this weird, messed up reality that we live in. Honeybee says, you know your experience. 1,000%, my friend. Absolutely. And you don't have to prove it to anyone. Nobody else has to accept it, by the way. And that is not required. That is not required for anyone else to accept it. So I just hope you recognize that. I know a lot of people have had, you know, experiences and whatnot. And I think that's really cool. I love the experiences that everyone has had. And a lot of people I've noticed, you know, they try to share those experiences, not necessarily always, you know, appreciated by everyone, you know, understood. And so I just want to kind of give a little bit of hope to people today. You know, if you're worried about like, well, what are other people going to think? Let me just tell you right now, nobody understands. You don't even understand. You can experience, but you can't prove. And I'm talking about everything from dream walking today to spiritual downloads to out of body experiences, near death experiences, whatever you want to consider it. This is the supernatural that we talk about every single day. So, Anointed Paulus says, God bless you and your work, sir. Thank you so much, my friend. Brittany, thank you, my friend. Brittany, welcome to the community as always. Thank you for being here, my friend. Brittany says, can't wait for Saturday. You and me both, my friend. We've got long time members of our community, and we've got fairly fresh members of our community. And we've got a brand new wave of them coming in. If you want to know more about that, there's Truth Train for confirmation. Sounds like it's on my front lawn. We've got our Cub Cooker Supernatural Mentorship Collective. And that's really what it is, guys. This is it's a co-mentorship community. And that's really what I want to try to focus it as going forward. It's all about co-mentoring each other and being there for each other. You get more perks than any other membership on the interwebs, in my opinion. You can go look at the website, scan that QR code, or hit up CubKuker.com for more information. You can see the URL right there at the bottom, or click the link in my profile. It'll take you to my official website. It's stupid affordable and incredibly, incredibly valuable. Our members absolutely rave about it, making lifelong friendships. It is fantastic. If you don't love it, you can cancel anytime. And by the way, that rarely happens. So you can go check it out. And I'll talk more about that as we go forward here. I want to answer a few questions here. Sam says, hi, sir. I'm a fan of your work from India. Thank you, Sam. I really appreciate you. Sam Preeth, I hope I said that correctly. Thank you for being here, my friend. I really, really appreciate that. Big fan of your culture, by the way. I absolutely love things like the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads. Big fan of that. I'm going to quote from some of that today, actually. So, Eastern mysticism literally changed my life in every possible way. So, big fan of that. Brittany says, I've been following you since 2020 when you had less than 10,000 followers. And I feel like I've grown spiritually with you. It's commendable how much you've grown. The membership is awesome. Thank you, Brittany. I appreciate that. And I love hearing that. That is so cool. Yeah, I remember back then when I had, like, when I hit 10,000 followers on TikTok, I celebrated. I was like, oh my gosh, like, I've never had 10,000 followers in my life. That was such a huge milestone. Now we're sitting at, we've got like 400 and something thousand on Facebook. We got 200 and some odd thousand on TikTok. We're at almost 20,000 over on YouTube. We are growing slowly but surely. It feels like a glacial pace sometimes, but looking back, it has been a very quick growth, and I'm very, very thankful for that, and thankful to everyone who's followed since the beginning. So thank you, Brittany, for sticking in there. Because I know the podcasts weren't that good early on, so I really appreciate you being here. What's up, Rachel? How are you? Rachel says, yes, thank you so much. Molly says, hey, Cubs, some of us have even found soul family members, 1,000%. We even called it the soul tribe for a little while. I got in trouble for that several times, so I dropped the word tribe, mainly to be respectful to indigenous peoples, because that was one of the things several people were reaching out. They didn't appreciate that I was calling it a tribe. And while I can't make everyone happy, indigenous peoples is something I highly value. And I really wanted to, you know, just kind of honor that. So that's why we kind of went away from the tribe. But yes, soul tribe for real, soul family. I've got members in there, people that I will never forget, people that have made an impact on me for life. And that's what's so beautiful about it. And that's part of what I'm talking about today is we have soul family members here on Earth in the 3D, and we have them in the astral or in the beyond or behind the veil or in the next dimension, whatever you want to call it. I call it the other room because that's the way I see it. It's like they're just as real right there, but you got the door shut. If you knock, that door will be open. And that's what a lot of people, especially the kind of fundamentalist Christian community is like really afraid of, because they view things like these gray aliens as demons, and they're not. They're something that we don't understand at all. They are not what we think they are. Can they be terrifying? Absolutely. They are incredibly pragmatic. They're not emotional. They do their job. Some of the taller ones or the higher, ranking ones have more what you would call emotion. They can be more of a guide, but the very small gray, they operate more like honeybees is the way I see it. And they kind of keep our reality together because for better or for worse, we're supposed to be in this 3D box that we're in right now. And it doesn't mean you can't see beyond it, but it does mean that if you go too far beyond it, you can actually screw up things in timelines. You can get stuck. You can potentially not do the work you're supposed to do here. Because we're all a part of a multidimensional chess game is the way I see it. And when it comes to the grays, you know, nothing is more controversial than talking about the gray aliens, because that just, some people are like straight up they're demons. Some people are like, oh my gosh, they are so helpful. I've got a relationship with them. Some people are just afraid of them in general. So that's a big, you know, a big point of debate, if you will. So, but yes, Molly, absolutely. Soul family all the way around. And that's really what I'm getting into today is what happens when we make contact in 2024. And if you're looking for a spaceship to land on the Great Lawn, you might be looking for a while. But if you're looking for contact where more and more people are experiencing higher consciousness and connecting with entities from beyond and understanding that our reality isn't real, and our sciences and stuff catching up to that understanding, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of that from 2024 forward. So be prepared. And that's what today's about. I want to talk about the possibilities of that. I want to talk about the pitfalls of that, you know, kind of all of the ups and downs. So, speaking of comic books, the colossal, Olmec heads remind me of the robot sentinels from the X-Men. Oh my gosh, dude, absolutely esoteric, Eric. Dude, they totally do. They totally do. And Galactus, like Galactus, you know, in Marvel is straight up like one of those Easter Island heads or, you know, some of these ancient gods. Like it's fascinating to me how many of these things are connected and even in comic books and lore. And is that because the comic book creators find inspiration in the ancient world? Possibly. Is it because there's a universal form of divine beings? Possibly. Is it because you live in an actual matrix that you keep projecting and everything in it will tell you the truth if you're seeking truth, and everything in it will tell you a lie and keep you bound if that's what you believe it's for? Possibly. See how I threw out three distinct possibilities that can all coincide and co-create together? Totally possible, right? So Chandler says, interesting. Thank you, my friend. Sir Michael says, what is the factual proof you have or have seen? Dude, if you want factual proof, this ain't your show, brother. You know, go have an experience in the woods. Go find a shaman. Go to, you know, one of your shamanic places and go have an experience and then give me factual proof that that happened. But then tell me your soul isn't 1,000% convinced that what the beings you talked with were there and are still there. So if you're looking for proof, you can't find proof of this. You can't even prove that you trip. You can't even prove that you know, you can see that your brain's firing differently, but you can't prove any of the things you see in there. You can say it's just a construct of your mind, but quantum physics says that this world is a construct of your mind. So where's the proof in any of that? You can't even prove that your parents exist. You can prove that you can go, you can touch them on the shoulder, you can have conversation with them, you can have dinner with them, but you cannot prove that they're sentient. You literally can't prove that anyone besides you has sentience, has actual self-awareness. And most people don't. Most people don't. And that's the sad truth is this awakening, when we talk about awakening, it's about becoming sentient, becoming a real boy, if you will. Pinocchio became a real boy. Once you stop telling the lie, you start to become a real boy. You guys get what I'm saying? So Brittany says, people don't understand. Everyone wants peace, but knowledge comes with peace. Mistakes make the knowledge. Absolutely, my friend. The whole point of life is to connect to the source. Take him to the battle within you and your struggles and try your best. When you overcome your mistakes by fixing them, you forgive yourself. Hence, God forgives you because you changed the thing that you were ashamed of. The church doesn't help people by preaching the opposite. 1,000%, Brittany. Absolutely. Love that. Great outlook, my friend. Bard says, bro, hi. What's up, my friend? This is live. See, I do read comments. Seek knowledge and gain wisdom. Esoteric Eric says, absolutely, brother. Sir Michael says, I think your observations with science fiction is spreading into your day-to-day life. Laugh my AO. It should, by the way. I promise you, I have a hell of a lot more fun in life than you do, Sir Michael. And so that's really all I'm concerned with, is creating my reality and having a hell of a time here on planet Earth, collecting souls and perfecting mine. And, you know, if you're reading comic books and you're watching movies and television and it's not bleeding into your everyday life, you're not doing it right. Okay. You've created a construct. You've literally made a prison for yourself. You've agreed to be in a prison of life. And you've agreed that those things are just fiction and that they don't have esoteric truths for you. When you start to see those esoteric truths in everything from the Matrix movies to Marvel comics to video games, whatever you are experiencing, then you understand that everything tells you the truth and all things are connected. Okay. Again, this isn't something I can teach. I can't intellectually teach Mr. Sir Michael here anything, but those are things he has to go out and experience on his own. Much love and respect, brother. But I'm just telling you, man, you got to open your mind up. And if you open your mind up, you're going to open your heart. By the way, if you open your mind, it will wreck your life. I can tell you right now, with your mindset, where you're at, you start to open your mind, it will absolutely screw up everything in your life, your relationships, your socioeconomic, your job. Everything about your life that you've built has to and will come down all around you. You will start to have what's called a tower moment in tarot, and everything will be deconstructed for you. You don't even get a choice with that. If you authentically seek truth, everything around you will crumble down. And that was my experience. That's the experience of many, many people in our community that I've met, I've worked with, and I've understood their stories and testimonies. When you get serious about finding truth, it's not in a book. There's no playbook for truth. It is literally within you, and it is something you experience. And that's why I say my truth. I'm not here to tell you your truth. I'm here to tell you mine. This is my testimony, my opinion, my truth every day. I'm not saying it's scientific. I'm not saying there's proof. I'm not saying it's factual in your little 3D box. I'm saying it's real for me, and that's all that matters. Everyone is crazy by their own right because everyone lives in their own world. And everyone's own world is, by definition, their own making. Let's see. Katzen says, you sound like a fool, and it's crazy that you don't notice. Katzen has the creepiest Gollum-looking profile picture I've ever seen in my life. I really hope that's not a selfie of you, my friend. Because that looks like AI. So anyway, but if you're just here to AI troll, that's cool. I'm used to it. I get it all day long. You still help my views. So welcome. Katzen says, no, you're just wrong. Exactly. Exactly. Of course I'm wrong. I'm wrong for you. And you should go find another channel. Peace out, brother. Jonathan says, have you ever heard of Elizabeth Clare? I have not. I have not. Definitely interested in finding other creators though. This is a dream about becoming nothing. Not for hire says supposed to be freedom, rights, and yes, absolutely. Absolutely not for hire. You guys are cool. That's why we saved you guys. Not for hire says we got a lot of people in here that are fronting for alien races, by the way. I get it all the time. I'm not really sure what's going on with that. I Jesus literally comes in here all the time telling me, like, I'm glad I saved you. Like, I'm glad I saved you and I didn't, you know, let you get unalived or whatever. I'm like, thanks, Jesus. Like, I appreciate that. That's pretty cool. Thank you for that. So what's my favorite book? Man, that is a hard one, Kat. It depends on if you're talking fiction or nonfiction. My favorite fiction book would have to be, and I'm actually rereading it right now. It's called My Side of the Mountain by Jean Craighead George. It's a youth book that I read a long, long time ago, and I just started to reread it. It's about a kid that runs away to the mountains and hollows out a tree and lives in it for years up in the Catskill Mountains, survives on his own. It's such a cool book. He's got a trained falcon. If you've ever read something like Hatchet or anything like that, you probably know the type of story I'm talking about. But so that's my like favorite fiction book. Favorite nonfiction? The Bhagavad Gita, probably. Absolutely love the Gita right now. That's what I'm really, really into. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that helps or not. So tell me more about the Greys, Epic Winston says. Great question. So the Greys, I've had a little bit of experience with them. I know other people have. I know a lot of people in our community have. For me, it's been largely terrifying with them, but at the same time, I think a lot of times I've misinterpreted like what they were trying to do. And I think when they help people or do work on people, first off, I don't think you remember it. And I think that you can take flashes of what it is and just be really scared from it. And I actually think there was a time in my life when they physically healed me. I know I'm crazy, right? It's nuts. But I'm just saying that that's what I personally believe. I used to think they were trying to attack me, and I'm now thinking that they're actually trying to help me and heal me and preserve me so I can continue to do my work in this 3D world. So Chris says, could the Greys be the future us? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I've heard that theory quite a bit. If you think about evolution, if we were to continue to evolve and A, not need atmosphere, and B, not need all of the reproductive organs and the muscle mass and all the different things, and it was pure consciousness, that's like the perfect form, is just to put a massive mind, a massive biologic computer in a smaller frame that is highly efficient and can literally survive on essentially fluids. We understand through all the abduction testimonies that they basically eat something called ambrosia, which is kind of a protein liquid derived from different things they pick up on other planets, including this one. So, Ari says, Conspiracy Theory by Sidney Sheldon. I have not read that. I will check that out. That sounds like a fantastic book. So, but yeah, Chris, I definitely think that's totally a possibility. I think it's very cool. Of Love and Light says, you're not nuts or crazy. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. That's really, really good to hear. So I don't know why, YouTube lately has been a pit of despair. I've got nothing but like trolls on YouTube, and I don't really understand. That's why I love TikTok, guys. Pray for TikTok, lift it up, give it some power, pump it up. You know, I do pretty well on Meta too. I'm grateful for that, but I just really am grateful for TikTok for giving me my start and perpetuating the views and everything that I get to do over there. So thank you guys for being such a cool group over on TikTok. Ashley says, a pit of despair, LOL. Yeah, it sucks. Like, YouTube makes me want to go crawl in a hole somewhere. And it's like, and I don't know what you guys are smoking over there on the YouTube end, but it ain't pretty. You need to put that down and get outside. Get out of the basement, get outside. You know, and go have some fun. And, you know, conspiracy theories are one thing. Talking about the woo-woo is one thing. But just being straight up mean to your fellow humans, it's like, it's pretty demented, guys. Like, I mean, you need to check yourself. I'm just saying. You know, and just some of the stupid comments. It's like, what are you, 14? I mean, come on. Am I Indian? No. I mean, clearly. Like, I'm clear. I'm a particular shade of Reynolds rap here. So yeah, no, I'm not Indian at all. I love ancient Indian texts out of India. I love the Bhagavad Gita and the Dhammapadas, Lord Krishna, big fan of that. Also big fan of Jesus too. Read a lot of the words of Jesus. I'm not a big Bible, thumper. I used to be. I know a lot about Bible history and biblical theology and understand why the church connects certain things. But I also understand that those don't really need to be made because that's not necessarily the intent until you have what we call the canonization process of the biblical canon. So Chris says zero melanin. Dude, brother, absolutely. God made me. He's like, yeah, dial that back. Dial that back so he can reflect like every color of the rainbow. It's bad. Dream Star, I know exactly. Hearts and ghosts, white hearts and ghosts, exactly. Flower Power, what is up, my friend? How are you doing? Thanks for being here, my friend. Nice to see you. UFO of God, thanks for joining. Some are humanoid and some are not. Absolutely. How do you know you're going down the right path? Dude, I don't know. I mean, like, why do I even care? If you're on a journey through a forest, like, the inner path is the right path. The narrow path is the right path. And I'm going to read a few excerpts about that today as well. One text calls it the razor path. It is very few people take it because everybody's looking for the right path. Like, what's the right way to do it? Nobody like does the authentic thing. And they're just like, I'm just on a journey and I'm just going to make decisions and take action and be in love with myself and others and life and this entire reality that we're a part of and just absolutely shower it in love. And that's where truth is. Truth is in the love. It is not in a doctrine. It is not in a current, you know, printed version. It's not in your Bible. It's not in any of your sacred texts. It's in all of them. It's literally in all of them. If you read them through love and esotericism and a non-literal interpretation, where you are the hero character and you are the one looking for spiritual gold or the pearl or whatever it is in this reality, you are the Son of Man becoming the Christ. That is a whole different level of understanding. And for me, that's the inner path or the middle path that the Buddha talked about. You know, if you, I've got these guitars behind me. If you string a guitar and you wind the strings too tight, which is a rigid adherence to these, you know, the letter of these religious laws, right? You wind them so tight and then they, you know, and they tries to pop a string. If you wind them so loose that you're just like, whatever, man, I don't care, you know, and you're not even interested. I don't even have time for that. I don't even care about spirituality. I'm just going to do whatever I want, man. That's winding it loose. And neither way are you going to make beautiful music and harmonize and share love in this reality. You have to be in tune, absolutely in tune. What do I think about Buddhism? Love Buddhism, love Hinduism, love mystic Christianity, love mystic Judaism, love mystic Islam, love mystic Zoroastrianism, love any of the mystic side of the equations I'm a big fan of. So and mystic Buddhism for me, I love. Again, any adherence to like, oh, you have to do this for X amount of time per day. And, you know, again, any dogma, I reject any dogma, but I absolutely love the esoteric and mystic side of all of these traditions. Absolutely. Spencer says kind of a bad metaphor. Well, it's the metaphor out of the Dhammapadas, so sorry about that. It's an ancient metaphor. The Buddha talked about the guitar string and that's how you tune your life. You have to be in tune. So, if it was good enough for, a couple of thousand years ago, it's good enough for now for me. So, actually about 2,500 years ago to be exact. So, sorry, Rami, much love my friend, but I don't go live with people because I'm on like 8 different platforms right now. So sorry about that. Jalen says, what is this? I don't know. Apparently it's a troll trap today, because apparently we put the right honey in here for the trolls. But if you're here to learn about spirituality and, contacting extraterrestrial races and channeling and what humanity might really be, I promise I'm going to get into that at some point here, but we got a lot of questions today. Chris says synchronicity. I lost your comment. There we go. Synchronicity. The name you just read, was what I mentioned in the Zoom. Oh, awesome. I have no idea what I just read. But yeah, all kinds of synchronicities. What do I think? Let's see, the YouTube handle UFO of God. Oh yeah, 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 exactly. I know. Isn't that weird? UFO of God over here on TikTok. And then that's the book that, several of us are reading over in the community right now, by the way. So, Great recommendation, by the way. I am fascinated, by the way. Don't have a lot of comments on it yet till I get through it, but so far, very intrigued by the book. I hope society sees this, Jalen says. Thank you, my friend. I do too. Truth train for confirmation there. Alexander says, big meow. Thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it. Honeybee says she loved the book. And then Amanda says, oh yeah, I need to get that one. Definitely. Miss Ladykin says, yes, UFO of God was a great book. Yeah, I'm doing the audio book now, so I just do little pieces every day. Cub, have you ever channeled ETs? Not like Bashar or something where it's like, oh, this entity is giving me a message, but I definitely channel like a higher consciousness, and I don't really ever know what talks through me because I don't ask it a name. I just flow on it, and I really come from a place of inner truth through my heart seat, right out of my heart. And that's really, you know, that's how I approach it. So, you know, I haven't gotten into any of those sessions where it's like, you know, the ET overlord is telling me this. But for me, I get otherworldly messages enough that they're abstract but applicable to my life and everyone's life. And they seem to work, they seem to resonate, and they seem to all be adding up to what I consider a master philosophy that works really well for me. And that master philosophy is something that I teach, practice, and mentor over in our mentor collective. You can go check that out at any time. I'll pop it up on the screen here. In case you're partway through this and you got to run, we actually have a Zoom call coming up on Saturday, and we're going to talk more about this subject on Saturday. I'll reveal exactly what the subject is on Friday. We have a different theme for every Saturday Zoom call. You get to meet me and all of our community. We've got different people on each week, depending on who can be there with their schedules. You're going to get the recordings. You're going to get access to all of my courses, hundreds of different video courses over there. All of our mentor calls, like I said, and the archive of that. You also get priority chat with me, monthly challenges, and so much more, guys. It's an incredible membership over there. It directly supports what I'm doing here. And it has better perks than anything I've ever seen from any content creator online. I do my best to pack it with value, and I have even more value coming to it. If you jump in now, you're going to get first dibs on that new value, and it will be included at no extra cost to your account if you sign up today. So go check that out, and I'll give you a hint. It does have to do with kind of the third pinnacle of what I teach. So one of the first things I teach is get the knowledge, get the understanding, and that's through all the courses that I have. And then get the connection and the community. That's through our community. We have an off social media hub and Zoom calls and the archive of the Zoom calls. And then kind of the third pillar that I'm adding is through activations, through actual frequencies at 432 hertz. I'm a big fan of the Earth frequency, and I'm working on composing an incredible amount of content around that practice of the actual spiritual practice where you get to do it and be intimate with it on your own in actually channeling and contacting and meditating and yoga and whatever, however you want to use it. I'm going to teach you multiple ways that you can use it, but my activations are going to be universally applicable no matter what religion or tradition you are. They're going to be able to be applied to whatever your belief systems are, because we are a universalist community here. I don't claim a particular religion or point of view other than love the message of Jesus in a mystic manner as a yogic tradition, not a dogmatic, you got to be saved type way. So I'm more of a what you would consider a mystic than, you know, any one particular tradition. So Christopher says, we are God. There is a veil. The divine masculine meditates to the divine mother who creates, or mediates to the divine mother who creates. Yeah, absolutely, my friend. It's quantum God theory. You have energy, you have wave, then you have observation, which is the particle. Consciousness literally creates the child, creates the Christ child, which is the responsible for all reality. I mean, that's literally the quantum God theory. We talk about that a lot here as well. And I love that idea. And to me, that is reality. Like, people are like, do you believe in God? I'm like, well, I create with God every day. So yeah, absolutely I do. And I see everything in my reality is because of God, but it's not the God that you want to put a name on or say, oh, it was in the Old Testament, or oh, it was in the New Testament, or oh, it was over here, or, oh, it was over there. It's a neutral zone. It is a place of divine feminine, divine masculine, the Father, the Mother, energy, the wave, and the observation that I make and the agreements that I make that create the reality, because the kingdom or the authority of that invisible spiritual entity is within me. It's within you too. Namaste, pure conscious love. Thank you so much for being here. The Holy Spirit is the fabric and God the Father and Mother is the weaver. Absolutely, my friend. I actually categorize Holy Spirit as the Mother, by the way, because that's how Jesus did. That's just kind of how I take it. I actually see Holy Spirit as Mother, Holy Mother Spirit, God the Father Spirit, the energy, and then the wave, which is the guide, and then the observation of that and the agreement of that and the experience of that is the child, is the photon, the actual created light particle that we experience here. So who created the God? That's the eternal question, man, and one that we're just not going to answer here, nor do I even care to answer it. We were created by the Elohim, according to all the stories. And the Elohim are presented in the Old Testament. And unfortunately, most of our biblical writings, in our modern translations, they just sub the word God where it should be Elohim. And Elohim is a plural word talking about multiple deities. So when it says, let us create man in our own image, that is not a divine council of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Trinity. That is a new device that people try to add to an ancient text. And that is not a good reading of it. That's not a good interpretation. That is not what it was originally intended to be, nor is it the origin of the derivation of those mythologies. The origin is the Anunnaki stories that come from way, way back in the day that had Enki and Lil, and Anu. King Anu was the most high, but he was still a physical deity. And it was believed that he came down and he dropped his sons off, two half-brothers, Enki and Enlil. Enlil was the god of the air, and he was the god of weather and war, and he was the one who was supposed to kind of tame the planet. And Enki was kind of the great scientist. He was supposed to plan cities. He did all the work on the human genome according to these mythologies. This is not the gospel according to Cub. This is what's in these Anunnaki mythologies, everything from the Enuma Elish to the Epic of Atrahasis, to Enki and the World Order, Epic of Gilgamesh. You can get into these. There's a ton of these different Mesopotamian mythologies, all of which clearly influenced, and a lot of scholars agree now that it influenced the biblical canon heavily, and that's where we get a lot of our older mythos in the biblical canon. So it doesn't mean anybody stole anything from anyone. It just means these are stories that were passed down and adapted and adopted into new cultures, and a lot of times added with their particular deity, whatever the cultural deity was. So again, it doesn't mean there was foul play with that or that anybody has to be accused of anything. It just means this is how mythologies work, and this is how different cultures work. They take what was given and handed down, and they adapt it and adopt it into their culture. Nothing wrong with that, but we need to understand what came first, the chicken or the egg. And with that, the big old chicken of Sumerian, Babylonian, and Akkadian mythology clearly came first. So I believe Enki is Thoth, Eric says. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, certainly the archetype. And when we look at these archetypes, I actually believe these gods. So I'm an ancient astronaut theorist, just so you know. Can't prove it. Total woo-woo. I get it. This is not mainstream, but it's what I personally believe. I believe people like Enki were people. They came down, they did all their work on humanity, and then they got in their rocket ship and blasted off to the next city, hundreds or even thousands of miles away. That's why you have different gods in different cultures. That's why they were named different things in different cultures. That's why the archetypes are almost identical in multiple cultures, thousands of years apart, thousands of miles apart. It's why Thoth and Enki, and even sometimes it says the Lord within the Old Testament, and sometimes it's talking about Enki. In the Old Testament, the Lord warns Noah. Well, in the Sumerian, it was Enki, and it was Enlil that sent the flood. But in the Old Testament, it's just the Lord did all of it. And it doesn't make sense. And it makes the Lord sound like a bipolar entity rather than two brothers who were warring with each other. And one of them wants to save the human creation and the other is done with it and says, well, we tried it, didn't work, we're done with them and we're going to move on. And so these archetypes are, again, applicable from culture to culture to culture. So I feel like Loki was another depiction of the Old Testament God. Yeah, and Loki is for sure the Anki vibes, for sure the Thoth vibes. Very mischievous, but incredibly intelligent, incredibly mystical, the god of magic and mischief. This is the same Anki. It's the same Loki. It's the same Thoth, you know. Incredible wisdom, but very mischievous, right? And then you have Thor, which is the god of weather and war and thunder and all that stuff, right? And you have the same archetype with like your Yahweh in the Old Testament. And so we got to like, those archetypes are incredibly important to understand. So Dreamstar says classical obsession with demons when y'all have never even seen one, but believe they are aliens. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Somebody said, read UFO of God. Dude, if that's not your sign, if you're in the community and this isn't your sign, Chris said it, Chris suggested it. Thank you, Chris, brother. If you're over in our community, start reading UFO of God. We have an unofficial book club going on. And I've got a thread over there where you can just post your thoughts about it. We're not meeting or anything like that in big meetings, but you can talk about the book at any point. And so we're going to do, you know, a different book every once in a while, let people get through it and just kind of share what's being talked about at that time. I'll pick a different book or have the community pick a different book, you know, every couple of months and we'll go through it. And so right now we're doing UFO of God and you can go chat over privately in our community. You can find that at the QR code here in the description or by hitting up my bio over at my website there. So yeah, UFO of God. I mean, we've had a lot of people mention it that are not even a part of the community. So there's your sign, guys, clearly. And then there's the truth train. Clearly, we need to, you know, we need to be reading that book, I think, with all of the serendipities. So yeah, absolutely. Christopher M. I'm one of the few people online, myself and some other creators that I'm friends with. That talk about the God of the Old Testament is not who Jesus was talking about. And I'm not really going to get deep into that here. Jesus was talking about a spiritual being within you, not these physical deities, not the God of war that was coming out of the Old Testament or this deity that needed sacrifices and all this stuff. Like Jesus didn't die to save you from his father. Like that is not, and unfortunately that is Christian doctrine. That's what I grew up with, that you know, you're an original sinner going back to your mom and dad, Adam and Eve, right? Well, we know first off, Adam and Eve, when you read the Sumerian mythology, they didn't do anything wrong at all. And Enki was the serpent that told them, you'll just be like Enlil, and then you can go procreate on your own and you don't even need him. So like, quit worrying about that. He can't even do anything to you and I'm going to help you get out of here. And that's the story according to the Sumerian mythos. So we got to like, we got to try to get away from that idea that Jesus was somehow talking about Old Testament stuff other than referencing it to show what spiritual truth within is versus what this letter of the religious law was. So very big difference in those messages. So I'm glad you recognize that, Christopher M. That's good to hear. Not a lot more people are waking up to that now, and I'm glad. And it's no disrespect at all to Abrahamic religion or those cultures or belief systems. But again, they're not for me. I personally am a mystic and I have moved on from that. So much love and respect, but it's not what I teach or preach on here. So, Menka says, why do you need a creator for the origin of humanity? Why can't it just be an asteroid to carry the necessary building blocks for life? Hey, I mean, it could be. A lot of these stories talk about a creator God. Could be an asteroid. Could be another planet that collided that had the right stuff on it, right? We don't know. I mean, it doesn't take away any divinity from the fact that that happened. Even if it happened, there is still a master algorithm that even allowed that to happen within the laws of probability. So there's like, it's still amazing that it could even happen. Even if you're just purely an evolutionist, just to be a pure evolutionist, you still have to believe in the power of the pattern. And, you know, for me, God is a pattern as well. So it's not, again, something that requires sacrifice or penance or anything like that, like we hear about within the biblical canon. So Kenny says, you have literally done 200 plus episodes about the Yahweh debacle. Thank you, man. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Yeah. And, you know, we got a lot of new people and I don't like to, you know, pump that out there to them. But yeah, if you go back on my work, there's a lot of stuff that I talk about that has to do with that. So, okay. Here's what I want to get into now. We've had a lot of comments, a lot of trolls. Now we're at the 45-minute mark here. I want to talk about some of my weird experiences. I want to talk about something I was told in a dream the other night, and I'm going to get close to the mic so you can turn the lights down. If you're driving, turn it up. Don't look at me, but listen. I was dreaming the other night, and when I dream, it's not normal, just so you know. This is not like, oh, Cub had a dream. This is like, shit happens when I have a dream. Pardon my language. I have dreams and things happen 3 days later that I have no control over, seemingly. I'm told things in dreams. I have weird experiences in dreams. I've told you, I believe I've had, you know, the grays do work on me or heal me or help me in dreams, even though it can be very scary. I've gone into spiritual battle in dreams multiple times. I continue to contact a deity. It's an invisible spirit. It's accompanied by a really bad taste in my mouth, bad headache, weird feeling, and dizziness and confusion. And I can't talk. And I'll often wake up and I'll wake my wife up in the middle of the night because I'm like groaning so loud, because in my dream I'm trying to speak something to this demonic entity, whatever it is, or confusion entity, or whatever you want to call it. And as I try to speak to it, I can't even get a full word out. It's just like, and I wake up, I'll even wake myself up because I sound like a moaning ghost in the middle of the night. And I always know that I'm going to blows with this entity. And this has happened ever since I was a kid. And it can be terrifying. Doesn't happen all the time, just happens sometimes. And it's pretty scary. With that said, I had a dream the other night that this entity was trying to attack a family member. This family member is someone who recently called me and told me something that I never guessed they would go through. I never guessed they would wake up at this level, where they're considering dropping some of the old belief systems they've had around the church and entering into more of a yogic, meditative, mystical type practice. And so this is when I tell you, I know this entity is real, the fact that it's now attacking this family member and I'm still experiencing it, trying to block me from it. Cause I can't even see it. You know, it used to come to me as like a fox when I was younger. I know Dreamstar says, dang, I wonder if that entity is your final boss. Probably. You know, this thing used to come as like a fox, an animated fox from a book I used to read when I was a kid. And I've talked to Ashley about this before. It has come to me as a vapor or a mist. It has come to me as just a darkness or a shadow. It's come as just a feeling. It's come as a smell. The smell freaks me out because it's not a smell I've ever smelled on earth. It's like a otherworldly chemical smell. And then I'll wake up and I can still smell it in my nostrils, but it's not in the room. Nobody else can smell it. It's the weirdest freaking thing, guys. I know I sound nuts, right? But I gotta share this, like, cause you guys are having weirder dreams than I am. I mean, come on. I've heard some of the stuff you guys talk about. So I gotta share this to share what I think is going on here. So I actually believe there is a thin veil between our world and theirs, or our world and the next, or our reality and what I call the true reality, or at least the base reality. I don't even think we're in the base reality. I think we're operating in an actual true to life simulated reality. And I heard a girl's testimony that I'll share here in a minute. She's on TikTok. I shared it with our community and I'll share it with you guys. But I honestly think that we travel and we do work, and sometimes we pierce that veil. And I think that I am, as I dream walk, because I really believe I do, because I go to back in time and place and even alternate versions of realities. And I have a lot of power in these spaces between the 3D and the astral. And this entity has always been there to try to block me. And it's put so many obstacles in my way my entire life through my dreams. And it makes you wonder what it does in regular life too, and how much of those blockages are psychic that have to be cleared out. This is where I get nuts, by the way. I've never shared a lot of this publicly, but I'm going to start sharing it. I'm going to share a whole lot more in the private community, because this is where the weird stuff starts to happen. I heard a noise and I'm like, okay, hold on, my wife's here. Let me shut the door. So this girl is talking in her testimony about her dream walking and how she ended up in a room and it looked kind of like a holodeck, like on Star Trek. And the walls were flickering in and out of what her dream reality was. And she's always like aware, lucid as she's dreaming. And I am too. Like, I'm aware I'm dreaming and I kind of realize I can do stuff in it and I can navigate. And I'm like looking for stuff and trying to figure out the riddle to what's going on. And so she kind of does the same thing. And she ended up in this room. And then there were these alien entities there. And one of them was like, you're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be here. She's like, why? Well, then they took her to like higher ups, and there were other larger alien and humanoid looking entities there. And they said they were going to have to give her a hokey pokey, to stop her from having lucid dreams, because she'd entered a place that she can't be, because she can mess up a whole lot of stuff by being there. Like, she's not even allowed by being incarnated in the 3D world to even be in this place. And so she was supposed to not have any more of these lucid dreams. And she goes back to the room, and the woman entity who's supposed to be giving her this serum, whatever you want to call it, so that she wouldn't lucid dream, ends up squirting it out on the floor and says, I'm a big fan of your work. Don't tell anyone. I could lose everything. And then she wakes up. And then she hasn't had a lucid dream for like 2 months now. So, you know, was that, again, was it a psychic block now that she can't lucid dream? But why did the lady not actually give her the hokey pokey? We don't know. Butterfly effect. Yeah, absolutely. This is very, very interesting. Very, very interesting that I think more happens in the dream world than we think. So after I had my dream the other night where this invisible entity, we'll call it my final boss, as Ashley did, which I like that. During that dream, I had a dream that I was in a cocoon, and in the cocoon there was a rainbow crystalline structure. It didn't even necessarily look like my human form. It was more of a morphic, sometimes anthropomorphic, but more of a morphic form that was changing and moving. And I was told as I was looking at it, that's you. You are crystal. I have no idea what that means, but I was looking at this like cocoon. It was like a fleshy cocoon, and then this rainbow glowing, moving substratum on the inside. And I was told, that's you. You are crystalline. And I have no idea what that means, other than I woke up realizing that like, we know this isn't us. And then we often think, oh, well, we're just pure consciousness. But what is pure consciousness? And probably in a hyperdimensional, if you go up to the fifth or higher dimension, and we know in string theory, you've got 11 dimensions. And in the book of Enoch, or the second book of Enoch, you have 11 heavens, 10 heavens, 11 heavens, depending on how you read it. And it makes a lot of sense now. And I have to begin to wonder, are we actual crystalline alien beings that are incarnate in flesh, trapped in flesh? Are we actual angels trapped in flesh? Because when I read through the book of Enoch, and Enoch says, my tongue of flesh will bind you to this earth. You shall not ascend into the heights of heaven again. And these fallen angels fell into the flesh world, and they're still here according to the book of Enoch. According to the book of Enoch, they never left. They've been put in chains here. but not in the way that you think, not like literal chains, but we're like chained to this reality if you think more esoterically. And I have to start to believe that maybe we are something we don't even like. We just want to think, oh, we're just spirit consciousness or whatever. But what if we're actually some tangible being in the fifth or sixth or seventh or higher dimension, and we're not even aware of it? And what if I was told that's what you are in my dream the other night? And that's the higher race that I'm from, is a crystalline morphic being. Crystalline doesn't have to, by the way, be a solid. Crystalline can be a fluid. There's crystalline fluids. So, I don't know. Like, I think that's insanely cool. Laura says, yes, I've never resonated with what I am until I had that dream the other night. And it was after I went to battle with my final boss. And then I woke up and then went back to sleep. And I remember, like, when I was awake, I was like, oh, I'm so tired of fighting this stupid thing. You know, if I could just get the key to figure that out. And then I go back into my dream and I'm shown, you're in a cocoon. And that's really you in there, because I could like see through the cocoon because it was like translucent, lucent. And I think that cocoon is this veil. I think if you could rip this veil open, you would see a whole lot of crystalline entities, a whole lot of you, a whole lot of me. And I'm starting to think that that's maybe part of this whole awakening thing. And it's not about heaven and hell, guys. It's about angels and demons. It's about energies, but it might actually be about crystalline beings that are like fighting for their lives here in the 3D world, or playing some sort of game in the three-dimensional world. And that's where you get archons and angels or angles of light, crystalline beings that are all trying to raise the vibration from a, what maybe a galactic federation type thing. And I resonate more with that I am some sort of galactic crystalline being trying to help raise humanity and get other people in touch with who they truly are. Cause I'm sorry, you know, what you look like here ain't who you really are. I mean, much love to you, but it doesn't matter what you look like here. That's not the true you. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, yellow, green, ochre, pearl, whatever here, there's something else within you. And we're not looking at the true, what are we? Chris, I haven't seen that. I'll have to check out that movie. Cocoon was a good movie back in the 80s. I have not seen that. Esoteric Eric says, all vibrating at just the right frequency to experience three-dimensional carbon matter body state of reasoning and mind. Yeah, absolutely. Esoteric Eric says, a light battle like the black and white TV snow battle. Yeah, exactly. And that's what it seems like, a bunch of frequencies bouncing off of each other. But what my dream gave me is that I've always said that this is the only tangible reality. I think there's another tangible reality. And I think behind that veil, directly behind that veil, if we can get into our higher mind, imagine if your brain was bigger, or you used more of it, or you could see more spectrums of light. First off, you would have a meltdown. But second off, when we go into psychedelic states, we experience these things, and things even happen to people in their real life after that, that don't make sense, that are connected to these experiences. And, you know, you can say, oh, well, people just go nuts because of it. No, I think it has to do with you're actually connecting the two. You're melding the ethereal realms, or the crystalline realms, or what we call the psychedelic or DMT realms, with the flesh realm here. And I think that you start to think in a different mind, because again, this is not your mind. This is your brain. Your mind is something much different, something much bigger, and you can connect your mind to others as well. Christopher says, you can learn so much when you let go of control and judgments, listen to your mind. 1,000%, brother, 1,000%. Not for Hire said, everybody had the chance to be in control, but they lost it faster than they got it. Yeah, and I agree. I believe that. I think most people just give away their control. They're like, oh, that's easy. Oh, I'll give it away to that, you know, organization, that corporation, that construct, that matrix, whatever. So, yeah. Teresa says, yes, I dreamwalk. Some of our community knows this well. And yes, aliens in a room. Yes. Thank you, Teresa. Thank you. And Teresa, if you're available on Saturday, I'd love your input. By the way, I haven't reached out to you privately, so I'm going to do it publicly here. But hit me up. I'd love to have you have your input on Saturday, because we're going to be talking about the other room on Saturday. So, and I'll release the poster for that and everything on Friday. But again, if you guys want to join that, it's a total private call. It is recorded and shared with the community behind private doors. And then there will be truly off the record private time after that, if you are nervous sharing on camera and on the recording record. But it is all part of our private community. It doesn't go on Facebook or any of that. It's all over on my website. You can check that out at cubkuker.com. Please consider joining. It is, I don't know how to tell you how awesome this membership is. If you've ever wanted a spiritual mentor that thinks the way I do, if you've ever wanted to meet a whole lot of other people that think the way I do, this is not one rock solid dogmatic philosophy. We got people all over the place, but we're all connected in this frequency of what I teach here and in love and light. So if you like that, please consider joining. I promise you, you will be mind blown at how ridiculously affordable it is and how much value you get for your membership. So please go check it out. Junkin Gypsy says, I'm really enjoying it. Thank you, my friend. So happy to have you. Let's see. If you want to astral travel, lay down and be still and your body will start to itch. Just ignore it. Dude, I know. It's so uncomfortable. Shamana Metaphysics says, yeah. How did you come out from Christian oppression? So for me, that was a deconstruction. And if you think about the word deconstruction, so you're removing the con and how it was built. So for me, deconstruction is stripping away all the lies. And that's a very difficult thing to do. And so rather than destroying all of my belief systems, I did what we do in deconstruction. You took it apart piece by piece and you go, this doesn't resonate. This doesn't look good. This doesn't work. You know, these concepts don't really go together. You can't have fear and love in the same philosophy, by the way. You can't fear the Lord and experience God's love. By the way, I can prove that to you by go talk to anyone that tries to argue that. Look at the level of judgment, look at the level of disillusion in their life, look at the level of confusion and the fruit that they experience, what we call spiritual fruit. And so I'm big on creating and manifesting spiritual fruit, and you cannot do that by serving two masters, trying to ride two horses, one being fear, one being love. Doesn't work. It is not possible. You keep trying to do it all day long, you're just going to do the splits. You're going to get a headache. You're going to get angry. You're going to get confused. You're going to judge others. You're going to judge yourself. You're going to get yourself worse off than you started. And I can tell you that because I literally grew up in the church construct, multiple denominations. I was homeschooled in a very evangelical cult setting. And then I personally worked within ministry for about 7 years. So professionally, so it's a very, very authentically when I tell you that stuff doesn't work very well when it comes to spiritual fruit. Much love and respect. I respect everybody's ability to believe whatever you want, but that's why I don't have a dogmatic belief system. I have a philosophical framework that I teach from, preach, take action on in my own life. You can find that over at supernaturalblueprint.com. That's completely free. It'll introduce you to my philosophy, to your chakras. The chakras are a big part of my philosophy. It's going to take you through 9 different chakras within your metaphysical body. And you know, it'll help you unblock things within your life. So after you go through that, it's about 14 pages long. It is handwritten by me. It is absolutely the core basis of my philosophy and what I teach, preach, and take action on in my everyday life. I'm not telling you I'm right. I'm not telling you you have to follow it to a T. I'm just saying if you're interested in getting started on the next chapter of your authentic spiritual journey and becoming everything that you can, getting rid of anything that doesn't serve you, and beginning to adopt everything that does serve you, your mission, those around you, your family, and your higher self, and that experience of God within you, that's a great place to start. Doesn't cost you any money. totally free, supernaturalblueprint.com. That's supernaturalblueprint.com. I feel like a late night infomercial. So go check that out. That'll be a great place for a lot of you guys to start who are asking questions right now. So mystical stuff happens when you start aligning your chakras, Laura says 1,000%. That's why that is such a basis of what I teach is, you know, people are like, well, what do I do after deconstruction? It's like, start your ascension journey. Well, what's that? Well, you know, chakras, yoga, meditation. You want to contact higher beings. You better align yourself. You better be in a good spiritual metaphysical state. Or you can, you know, psychosis is real, right? Like, I've known many people who have had wild experiences with the beyond and they're not in alignment, and it makes them just completely go off the rails because it's very scary. And so being in alignment and understanding what's going on is very, very important before you start talking with higher beings. Even if you consider that God or source or whatever, you need alignment. You need balance in your life. You need that yoga of the self, the higher self and the self, and that alchemy before you start getting messages and the downloads and all of that stuff. It's very, very important. So that's why I teach it from the ground up in that manner. Thoth the Atlantean. Yeah. Thoth the Atlantean didn't write any books, by the way. That's a channeled work. The Emerald Tablets of Thoth. There's a lot of people trying to sell that as a legit book. It's a guy named Doriel channeled it. He said he found it in a cave, but he actually finally came out and he's like, oh, I channeled that, by the way. I contacted the being in a cave. Which is fine, but just be honest up front about it. John's in a cave on the Isle of Patmos, starts tripping out, has a vision, and writes Revelation, right? We don't even know what John it was, by the way. And we need to be honest about Revelation. It's a channeled work. Beautiful channeled work if you read it esoterically and you read the seven seals, the seven churches, and the seven angels as the seven activations of the seven seals of the seven chakras, okay, which are the houses of God within you. And when you begin to understand that, Revelation takes on an entirely different spin, and it's a lot of fun. Learn to meditate, absolutely. How can I communicate with higher beings? Meditate, but align your chakras first. I'm telling you guys, okay? Don't go taking a hero's dose of contacting, you know, higher beings until you're aligned. And then do it naturally if you can. And if you're going to do it any other way, with any type of mind opening, plant-based, you know, rituals, you want to do that with a shaman and do it where it's legal and safe so that you have no paranoia around it and you're with a shaman and you have everything that you need. And then you don't want to hero it at that point either. So just be very aware this stuff has consequences to your physical reality. You need to try and be as potent about it as possible, but as directly in authority of unlocking each of these things in your life and understanding, going on the journey. It's just like you wouldn't go climb Mount Everest when you haven't even walked a mile. You know, you're going to go walk a mile, 2, 3, 10, 100 miles on flat surface. And then you're going to start going uphill, and then you're going to start doing stairs. Then you're going to go on a small mountain climb. Then you're going to do it in the cold. Then you're going to do it in the snow. And then you're going to do it over and over and over. You're going to train for it. And that's what I teach. Like the whole thing that I have, if you join the Mentor Collective, it is a training system. The whole thing is a spiritual training system. I try to avoid that language because it can freak people out. And they're like, what am I joining? Oh my gosh, it's a spiritual training system. No, it is, because you're getting philosophy and knowledge. You're getting connection and community. And then, like I said, the third thing I'm adding is activations and frequency. And you're going to get all of that with your membership. And that is such an important thing, because this journey is that. It's a journey, and you need to go on that journey. One of the things over in the courses is I have an entire course with, I don't know, there's probably 100 videos in that one. I don't know. I haven't counted them. But a ton of different videos, and it is all from a book I wrote in 2020 called God-Given Gifts of Brilliance. And the whole thing is laid out as a journey because it was all sparked by my failed journey to go to Yellowstone with an RV behind my pickup. And so I go through and I explain exactly why spirituality is a journey, why you have spiritual gifts to unlock along the way, and why you need to enjoy the journey. This isn't an Instagram post about life's a journey, just enjoy it. Life can be a grueling journey. Life can be a beautiful journey. Life can be a journey of survival. It can be a journey of thriving. It can be a journey of spiritual ascension. In fact, it's all of it. And when we connect it and adopt it as all of it, then we have something real. Then we have that full circle experience. And so that's just really, really important. And I try to encourage everybody, get the full experience. That's why as I build out our community and our collective, it's important for me to have all the different points that go together within a spiritual training system so that everybody can succeed wherever they're at, because it's not a one size fits all. We've got people that come into the community and they are from day one, like diving into the courses. We got people that come in and from day one, they're not interested in the courses. They're ready to meet people. And I promise you, no matter what your approach is, I've got a place for you in our collective. So come and check it out. www.cubcooker.com. It's going to be the place for you to take that next step of your journey with me and the rest of the community. If you dig what I'm talking about today, Simon says, I love how you put that. AA says, I have no purpose. I'm tired of this life. AA, finish your name. Could be Aaron Adams. Could be, I don't know, whatever it is. Give yourself a full name. Give yourself a full purpose. By the way, why do you have a name? You guys that don't have profile pictures or names, you need to get comfortable with who you are. I've got a friend that recently changed his handle over on social media back to his name, the name that he resonates with, instead of having like a branded handle or whatever. Some of you guys just need to get comfortable with who the heck you really are. You need to get comfortable putting your profile picture out there and putting your face up there and quit using the filters or the goofy ears or whatever. You need to go be real. Go be yourself. Like, represent yourself and fall in love with yourself. And then you'll never not have purpose. And so, my friend, I know where you're coming from. That's why I've gotten really comfortable with the name Cub. I am Cub. I'm like a baby bear, but I can also roar like a mama bear, like a daddy bear. So you need to understand there's that, there's symbolism even in my name, right? Jacob is my birth name. Jacob is a representative of the biblical character Jacob. That's why I was named the one who wrestles with God. Yeah, you think? That's been my life journey. Wrestling with deities, wrestling with the gods, and then finally realizing God's within me, and I shall call it Pineal, just as Jacob. And if you think about Jacob's ladder, the helix spiral of DNA, think about all of that. Dreamstar says LMAO for real. Exactly, exactly. Kenny says legit mic drop. I know, right, brother? Christopher says, I made an AI image of myself and popped it up there. I do have a pic on my eye color vid. Yeah, and that's awesome. I mean, if you want to use an AI pic of yourself, that's fine. But I normally suggest that if you have a business page and you want to represent a business or something. But for me, I am the business. I am me. I am the mentor. So, and it doesn't mean I'm your guru, by the way. I don't want to be anybody's guru. But I want to be your mentor, and that's important to me. It doesn't mean I'm going to be there to give you all the answers all the time, but I promise you I will do everything I can to guide you towards more understanding, to guide you towards resources, to guide you towards other people, to encourage you, to lift you up. That's why I resonate deeply with the idea of being a mentor rather than a guru. So I'm not your guru, but I will be your mentor, and just hit me up for more info on that. So with that said, when I tell you guys, go get yourself a profile picture, I mean it. Go get yourself a profile picture. Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know who Christopher is. Christopher looks like an AI bot. Much love, my friend. I don't think you are at this point because you've had some intelligent conversation with us. But when you put your face out there, it shows that you're not a troll. It shows that you're real and you're ready to connect. And those three things are really important to your spirituality. Not being a troll. Don't hate or judge others. Okay. Check that off there. Fall in love with yourself and others. So if you got that off of there, be real, be authentic, be willing to just show who you really are. That's that. We should check that one off. And then number three is just you put yourself out there as your image. That's what you're representative here on this planet. That's what people get to know. And that's actually serving other people when they can look at you and go, hey, Chris has a really warm face. I might like to get to know him. Laura has a really warm face. Notice the people that I call out here all the time, they're the ones that have real profile pictures. Dreamstar Oracle, Laura, you know, Teresa over here. We got Honeybee. I mean, Chris Gorman over here. You guys, I know you. I can see your profile picture. I can see your face. You guys go look at my profile picture. In fact, I'm going to flip it over for you here. Look at this. There it is at the top. See that over on Facebook here? See that on YouTube? You guys probably see it on TikTok up here at the top. I put a white background. My favorite color is purple. I put a purple shirt on. Got my hair done the way I want it. That is me. That is how you, if you go to dinner with me, if you go to a movie with me, you go to an event with me, you're probably going to see me looking something like that. That's me. Okay. That's not AI. There's no affectation on that. I didn't even barely Photoshop that. I took it with my iPhone against a white wall and I removed the white wall and just put a white plate background over it. That's me. You can't mistake that. And I'm telling you guys, like, I understand the idea of like branding and I got to have the trippy imagery or the divine, whatever, you know, the sacred geometry or whatever. But guys, I want to know you. If you want to connect with me for real, put yourself out there. You want to connect with others for real, put yourself out there. I'm not telling you anything you have to do. I'm just saying it is so much easier for me to connect with people when I can see who they are. I have my logo. Got my logo up here. It's the Technicolor prism there, the big prism. It's got the thin outsides and the thick insides to represent that crystalline structure. And then it has Cub Cooker Supernatural, which is my brand, in the middle of it there. But you go to social media and I'm Jacob Cooker because that's what I'm verified under, because that's what my driver's license says, because that's who I am. And that's how I represent myself in the world. And so if you want to start having these experiences in the beyond, you better darn sure get comfortable with who you are in the here and now. If you're thinking about the past or the future version of you, or what is the ethereal version of me, you better be able to look in the mirror and understand, I love you. You better be able to look in the mirror and say, I love you and mean it. I love you. I forgive you. You are enough. When you do that and you're comfortable with yourself, you're comfortable sharing yourself with others. By the way, now's not the time for all these things. I identify as neuro whatever, so I'm not comfortable with my own image on social media because I have blah, blah, blah. Guys, I'm telling you, you want to be a spiritual leader. You want to help yourself and others. You better show up for yourself and others. And that includes putting your face out there. I love you. And I mean that with all due love and respect. I get it. Some people are in situations where for legal or security reasons, you might not be comfortable showing your face. I get that. Somebody just popped in with a picture of a lake. Beautiful picture of a lake, but that's a better banner photo than it is me getting to know you as a person, okay? As a person. And that's what I'm talking about. That's why I love our community. Come in our community. You're encouraged to put a profile picture of yourself, put something that represents you. So I know when you pop on a call on Saturday and I see your face, I go, oh, that's so-and-so. Here's their profile. I get you. Yeah, this is who I'm talking to. And so that's a big part, I think, of reality that we're living in, is you got to get comfortable with, you got to get comfortable with who you are first. So I know I went on and on about that for a minute, but that's like one of my pet peeves. It just drives me nuts when people have a picture of snow or, you know, a big rock in the canyon or whatever. And it's like, dude, like, I like that imagery. That's cool. But I want to know who you are. I don't even know if you're real now. Like, the human brain needs to see faces and eyes. especially if you're on visual social media. That's really, really important. Immerse yourself in whatever you are in the now. Exactly, exactly, my friend. Malcolm says, on my profile picture, the owl I captured represents me seeing knowledge. That's awesome, man. I love that. But still, you got people that want to get to know you. They don't understand what the owl is. That's a good post for you to explain your experience. That's a good banner photo for you to explain your experience. But people want to know who Malcolm is. Okay, I don't even know who Malcolm is now. And on this tiny little screen, I can't even see an owl. I just see it looks like just a white screen. So that's all I'm saying is, like, I want to know who you are. Even Kenny. Kenny, love you, brother. Love to see your face. Who's Kenny? I don't know. I don't know who Kenny is. Kenny's here all the time. Kenny could be my best AI bot. I don't know. Thankful for him because they tip. I mean, if you're going to be a robot, at least tip, right? So thank you. I appreciate that. But again, I like to see faces. I like to see who you are. I think that's so important. You're never going to figure out who you are in the next life or behind the veil if you're not comfortable with who you are here. That's part of the freaking human experience, guys. It's part of the simulation. You chose an avatar. Play that avatar. Make that avatar your profile picture. Put it out there. Coco Boom says, it's me. Awesome. What's up, Coco? Coco knows what's up. She's got a profile picture right up there. Not Just Nicole says, I want to see my underneath, my extraterrestrial self. Awesome, my friend. Awesome. And at least you let others see your face. I can see your face, and that's awesome. I don't know how to say your name. Armidia says yes. You've got a great profile picture too. I love it. I know that's such a little thing, guys, but there's so much meaning under that. Dreamstar says, love seeing real faces. Exactly. And I'm telling you guys, even if you get in my community, we got people that join the community, they expect to go make friends, and then they don't even have a profile picture. That's part of it. It's like if you go into a room with people and you want to make friends and you don't talk to anyone, you're not going to make friends. And so this is like the easiest way to get out of your shell. Just put your face out there. Just put your face out there. Julia says, you love me for my face. Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for showing up with a profile picture. I love that. Leanne says, I forget I don't have a pic of me. Ha ha. Yeah, Leanne, love to see you too. Like, I'm telling you that if you want to be friends with me, even if you join the community, I need to know who you are. Attention is your currency, okay? You don't have to get mass attention like I do, but you got to get attention from the people that you need to connect to open up the divine timelines in your life. It's really hard for the universe to give you abundance if you're not showing yourself to the universe. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? You start showing up authentically, you know, that means having a presence everywhere. Okay. I'm not telling you, you should or shouldn't use social media. I don't care what you do, but if you're going to be on it, have a presence on it, you know, put yourself out there for the universe a little bit and see what good comes back to you, especially if you're in a place of abundance. If you're in a lack mindset, if you're trying to hide out or whatever. I mean, you go do you. I'm just saying. But if you're ready for that abundance, you got to be willing to put yourself out there for the universe. And that is like 1,000% my experience, guys. So when I started showing up like as me, as Cub, as Jacob Cooker online, that's when things took off for me. I was trying to be all these other things before that. Oh, people like the brand I was a brand called My Bible Works before this. Nobody cared about that, guys. When I became Jacob Cooker, Cub Cooker, and I said, I'm going to show up every day and make content about the supernatural, that's when people started caring. Okay. I don't think I have like rock star looks, but I got almost 1 million followers now. I mean, come on, guys. Like, if I can do it, you can do it. And you may not even want 1 million followers, and that's fine. But I promise you, you want connection. You're looking for meaning in your life. Connection is where it's at, guys. Don't be connecting to higher alien races and stuff like that till you connect to people. You start connecting to people, then you go connect to higher alien races. Then you go ask God and source and your angel guides and your ET family and all of that stuff. Then you ask for that. But you better start connecting IRL here, or at least in the 3D. I call it IRL because this is the real life you have right now. This is your current operating system. And until you upgrade to the 2.0 or the 4.0 or the 5D or whatever you want to call it, this is what you got to work with. So start using it well, my friends. I love you. I hope that message resonates with somebody. Josie, thank you so much. Love your profile picture, Josie. Again, Josie's now, I remember Josie. Josie's in my head now. And many of you guys, I want to remember you. I want to know who you are when I look at your profile picture, when you pop back up and you come and have another conversation. So, DZan says, absolutely love how you, build people up. Love your content. Thank you. Absolutely, my friend. 1000%. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Dreamstar says, amazing episode today. Thank you, my friend. I have to stay on for exactly 6 more minutes, so I get the credit over here on TikTok for the 90-minute episodes because it bumps my profile. So I'm going to stay on a few more minutes. Y'all drop your questions, and I'm going to answer those before I jump off here. Let's see. And I will answer questions if they're not absolutely dumb. So if you're going to ask dumb questions, go somewhere else. XL Beat says, Cub, is there anything in ancient text that predates the Bible that relates to the Passover? That's a pretty good question. I think what I would encourage you or anyone that's looking for those direct biblical references is to understand the archetype of the Old Testament God that even the Passover is celebrated because of. That whole Passover where the Holy Spirit passed over. There's a movie that I love, and it shows that Passover where the Holy Spirit passes over. And by the way, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit of Yahweh at that point, passes over the city, and it's actually the shape of a massive UFO. And that's when all of the Egyptian children are unalived. And so it's very, you know, by the way, not something you should celebrate, in my opinion. Mass genocide of children. I'm sorry. I'm just going to be really honest. But for me, you need to understand the archetypes of the type of gods that were in battle with each other for their peoples, for their bloodline. Why did they have bloodline? Why, you got to ask yourself, why do these gods have bloodlines? Well, go read the Sumerian, the Babylonian, and the Akkadian mythologies. And I'll give you 4 texts to read that will help you understand these archetypes. And then you can decipher for yourself, like, what does that Passover mean? And, you know, maybe it's something you want to consider whether you want to or don't want to celebrate it after you read these. So, number one, go read the Enuma Elish. Enuma Elish means went on high. So, Enuma, E-N-U-M-A, E-L-I-S-H, Enuma Elish. Number two is the Epic of Atrahasis. The Epic of Atrahasis, A-T-R-A-H-A-S-I-S, Atrahasis, the Epic of Atrahasis. That's a fantastic one, and that's about the biblical flood, but with all the characters still retained from the earlier mythology where you see all the different gods interacting, some trying to prevent the flood, some trying to save their humans, and some just trying to start over and end the experiment or the human experiment. And then number three that I would read if I were you is I would dig deeply, into Enki and the world order, E-N-K-I and the world order. So that's number three, Enki and the world order. And that is going to be about Lord Enki and how he planned all the cities and set up civilization and how he brings fertility to the land and how even his processes allow more cattle and goats and sheep and crops and everything to be abundant all the time. And it's basically a whole document of him glorifying himself, but it's going to show you, you know, it'll give you some of that Loki energy, that Enki energy that I was talking about. And then you can see a lot of those type of quotations that are directly in the Bible as well from that document. Then the final one that I would read, and I'm going to start a study on this as soon as I get through it, but I'm doing a deep study of it right now, and I want to do justice to it, is it's, you probably heard of it, it's called the Epic of Gilgamesh, It's one of the oldest poems we have on the planet. It's beautiful, and it's about Gilgamesh and his journey. He goes from the heavens to earth to the underworld. He battles a demon goddess, all kinds of different things in there. And it's really a lot, in my opinion, about the transmigration of the soul. But again, if you're going to take it literally, I think these ancient astronaut theorists have a really good handle on it with these deities most likely were hanging out with their bloodlines, their servants, their chosen ones, whatever you want to call it, setting up societies so that they could continue to operate in this realm. And you can view these as extraterrestrial gods from another planet with a higher than us technology. You can view them as multidimensional, possibly because there's another timeline or another reality where that reality, it was destroyed, and they're having to recreate so they can continue to live through beings on this planet in this 3D reality. Again, this is wild stuff. This is wild stuff, but I'm just telling you, make your own decision about that. And these are probably, that's probably the four things I would read if I were you, if you're looking to understand a bit more about the biblical mythos. So Chris says the Egyptians have something that relates to the likeness of the Jesus story. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got the resurrection and Osiris and just kind of the obsession with resurrection technology and that type thing. A lot of cool stuff, especially in the Egyptian Book of the Dead. And I actually put five different Bible verses or sacred scriptures today. And I'm going to run through those real quick. The Bhagavad Gita, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor these kings, nor the nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. That's the Bhagavad Gita 2:12. Book of Revelation says, after this, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. The first voice, which I had heard, was speaking to me like a trumpet and said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. That's Revelation 4:1. The Tao Te Ching says, the Tao can be told, the Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The nameless is the beginning of heaven and earth. And that's the Tao Te Ching, chapter 1. The Upanishads say, awake, arise, and learn by approaching the exalted ones. For the path is as sharp as a razor's edge, impassable and hard to go by, say the wise. That is the Katha Upanishad 1.3.14. And finally, the Egyptian Book of the Dead says, O you gates, lift high your heads. O everlasting doors, let the King of Glory enter. That's from the Egyptian Book of the Dead, spell 17. And the reason I put all those in there is they all show the impermanence of this reality. They all show that there is a door, there is a veil, there is something beyond this, that once you pierce that, once you knock, once it is open to you, you cannot go back. And I hope you guys recognize that, and I hope you are perpetually and eternally curious to continue asking questions, digging deeper, and connecting on new levels with yourself and others. I love you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Y'all have a beautiful evening. If you do want to join the Cub Cooker Supernatural Mentorship Collective, hit up my website at cubkuker.com, C-U-B-K-U-K-E-R.com. You're going to get access to all of our Zoom calls, the archive of the calls, all of my courses, which include over 500 video episodes in there, and I'm adding to it all the time. You're also going to get access to the off social media community hub where you can communicate with others, ask questions. You can also direct message me over there for continued mentorship and anything that I can do to support you in your journey. I love you guys. And I've got a lot of surprises coming to the community, so go check it out. You will get those with your membership at no extra cost as soon as they launch here in the next month or two. So go check that out. I love you guys. Y'all have a beautiful day. God bless you. Namaste and peace.